Welcome in, ladies and gentlemen, to MBR, or as we like to call it around here, Nothing But Rants, the show where I find topics that I'm oddly passionate about, and I pontificate upon them. These are not hot takes, but rather takes that I'm hot about.
Let's shut up and grab some tape.
What is up, ladies and gentlemen? Welcome in to the Film Guy Network on a fabulous Monday evening. Got an absolutely loaded show for you guys, as always, here on a Monday. I was wondering, I did a Florida podcast today after that Aaron Philo film breakdown. I was wondering why it didn't feel like breathing. I was wondering why it felt like I was almost thinking through my thoughts. Now I'm realizing I've been out of the game. Been out of the game for like 4 or 5 days. That's like 3 weeks for me, it feels like.
Yeah.
We've been live since Tuesday. Mm-hmm. That's 6 days no live. Mm-hmm.
That's our longest hiatus since when?
That's what I'm saying. I feel like I'm running out of the blocks for the first time in 100 for a minute. Here we are. Welcome in. We got a loaded one for you guys. We got massive quarterback news over the weekend. We're going to talk about that. Big Ten's dumbest idea to date. And we have details on that dumb decision, or rather suggestion. Notable quarterback jobs to pay attention to as spring practice arrives. I know it feels like we're walking through this oasis of the offseason and all this other stuff. Nobody talking about football. I don't know. We're like 30 days from spring practice at most of these places.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So y'all better start locking in. We got some major, major quarterback battles to talk about tonight. The SEC teams in particular will be talking about this spring. We also have an off-season additions. Boys, I have Auburn prepared and A&M prepared. We'll let Jonathan decide who I ultimately deliver on additions tonight. We'll tease you guys till the end on that one. You'll have to find out. And, of course, as you can tell by the title of tonight's broadcast, we are going to rank our top five football coaches active in college football. And the reason we're going to be doing that today, boys, is because I think it's a clear-cut three. Mm-hmm. And then we're going to scratch and claw to figure out who four and five are. And I think that's the more important discussion to be having tonight. And we will be doing that. Make sure you hit that thumbs up button. Let's go to work. You know it. I already see it in the chat. It is search for sicko time. All right. I see some sickos in the chat firing off right now. I see somebody trying to contribute to my fishing pole fund. We appreciate that. If you were at the Walmart Winder today and you decided to take two fishing rods out of a Toyota Tundra, I'm going to find your ass. Don't worry about that.
Now, was this because like you left the tailgate unlocked? Or?
So, you know, I got the...
Yeah, that's why I was confused. Like
I would never leave my tailgate unlocked, but the tailgate, for a brief moment, was uncovered. And there were two fishing rods laying in the back of it. And somebody whoop-de-dooed them up out and took the tackle box.
So how long were you gone? Like how quick?
In and out of the Walmart. I was in the Walmart, went to the back, had to pick up a box fan for the kids' tent that we bought over the weekend.
Nice.
And then went to the food aisle to get some Alani's for the wife and then hit the checkout. Bang, bang, bang.
Man, that was a swift.
In and out. Oh, he was a smooth criminal. Mm-hmm. And he even noticed he was away from the video towers. He knew what he was doing. Not like I was going to sit around and wait for the security guard at Walmart Winder. Yeah. You know what I mean? But anyways, yeah. If you're watching tonight, you're a real sicko. And we appreciate you, sicko. We're looking for the other sickos, the college football sickos tonight. We're in search for those guys. And the way we get put in front of those, the way we get put in front of those people who are dying and only are in dire need of college football content and only want college football content is if you're firing off in that chat and hitting that thumbs up button. We start with the news around here. And there was news this weekend, boys. Trinidad Chambliss in a local court approved for a sixth year. I did see the NCAA was going to appeal this. I don't know if their appeal will hold any water. Let's assume and talk about it as if Trinidad Chambliss got his sixth year.
Oh, it's. I mean, this was like basically all anything that I thought of Ole Miss this upcoming year was going to hinge on this decision of whether or not Trinidad Chambliss was going to get an extra year, because if it wasn't, it was going to be Deuce Knight. He's entering his first year as a starter. But now that it's Trinidad Chambliss returning, I mean, this guy has the potential to be the best quarterback in college football this upcoming year. I mean, this guy played extremely well for Ole Miss last season, was maybe the best quarterback in the college football playoffs this past year, despite not making a national title game. I mean, a super impactful player. I mean, he raises the ceiling and the floor of this Ole Miss team coming up on this year.
I also feel like this is – I'm with you. I think it's one of the best returning quarterbacks in all of college football, the way that he finished. Bringing back Kewon Lacy on top of that, that tandem in that backfield at Ole Miss, I would imagine is going to be really, really good, borderline great in 2026. But I do think this is a – they don't – none of these extra years of eligibility cases seem cut and dry. This one I feel like I can swallow. I've been Mr. High School Football guy. I've been Mr. Can we get a job guy. I've been Mr. If you're ready for the NFL, it's time to go on to the NFL despite all this NIL money looking good. I've been that guy this entire time. But guys, this isn't some 2019 high school graduate. This is a 2021 high school graduate, well within his five-year time span. Hell, definitely within his six-year time span of college football. And not only that, he was under the impression that he was getting a medical red shirt while at the D2 school,
Ferris State.
He was under the impression that he was getting it. Not only that, I mean, as was everybody else involved, there's NCAA broadcasters on a national championship in Division II saying that this individual has received his medical red shirt. Mm-hmm. It seemed relatively cut and dry to me. I know this will get labeled with the get a job memes. I know this will get labeled with, oh my God, my football is not my football anymore type stuff. But this doesn't seem to me like some major stretch of the rules here.
No, and I think that was kind of my takeaway. It was like the initial reaction is, oh my God, college football's cooked. You can basically just go to court and get whatever eligibility you want. But this isn't really the case. I don't think a Trinidad Chambliss-style case is going to be recreated anytime soon. Now, the other one that we'll talk about later is certainly going to be the more important one here. But I like we all agree, like Trinidad Chambliss was going to be what Ole Miss season hinged on. I don't think this is that much out of the realm of or fairness to say that he did get that extra year because of the medical red shirt that was or was not given to him. So it makes sense. And honestly, good for him, good for Ole Miss, and good for college football, honestly, because he's a hell of a player.
Yeah, and I agree with you in the sense of, like, this doesn't feel like one of these slimy incidences where the player is trying to gain an extra year of eligibility just for the heck of it, really. Like, this feels like one of the more natural processes of trying to get back a year that you feel like you deserve. But my entire reaction around this is I do start to get a little concerned that we see more and more players choosing college over the NFL. Like, that's just my only concern with all of this, because in my eyes, I do think that Trinidad would be one of the best quarterbacks in this year's draft class. Like, I think he would be one of the top priorities at that position in this year's class. And I get it. He'll be well paid at Ole Miss, and the next year could do a lot of good for him.
Not just well paid, Jonathan. Reports are $6 million.
Right. So I get that. But that's also like a part of my concern is that we've reached that level. Like, and we've been at this level. This isn't anything new. Like, Trinidad isn't like breaking through some ceiling of like, oh, now these guys are getting paid an exorbitant amount of money to the point where NFL money doesn't even, you don't even think twice about it. But it just feels like we're kind of like created this blockade of a natural process and flow of you get to a certain point in your college career and it's like, obviously you go to the NFL.
So this is a 2021 high school graduate asking for the Division II medical redshirt year that he was under the impression that he received. He's asking for that back. I think that's a whole different can of worms than opening up what potentially Joey Aguilar is trying to do.
Yeah.
Which is saying, hey, none of those JUCO years count. But here's the deal. Here's what's really, really weird about this. Joey is look like that one's getting deferred. We have no answer on Aguilar's. This will be his eighth year of college football. This is a 2019 high school graduate. So this would be his eighth year, I believe, asking for, you know, his window to play college football. That's a little bit outside of the norm for me, but I don't know where to land on this because I'm a consistency guy, and I definitely want that from our court systems, for the love of God. I would prefer that. That would be nice. I don't know if we're ever going to get that way, but the court systems in the state of Tennessee gave Pavia the JUCO year, the one JUCO year. And I vividly remember his lawyer standing there in Tennessee State Court saying, hey, by the way, appreciate you giving me that 1 year. If you don't, I'm coming back for that second one.
Mm-hmm.
And so much so that it got tweeted out and Diego was like, Cap, I'm not coming back. But he did that because he felt like it was almost embarrassing. He was going to the NFL anyways. Mm-hmm. I don't think Joey Aguilar cares to be in the NFL. I think Joey Aguilar cares to get that $3 million that Tennessee's probably going to give him.
Mm-hmm.
So there is somewhat court precedence here for this.
Mm-hmm.
But Joey's already gotten his one that Diego got.
Yeah.
Now he's asking for two. Now he's basically asking for none of it to count, which I don't know. Is he going to get it?
I mean, I would – no offense to Tennessee fans or Joey Aguilar. I would hope that he doesn't get it because you're right. You do set a precedent that you can basically play JUCO ball, do whatever you want for however long you play JUCO, and that not count towards your eligibility to the point where you're going to get a backlog. I mean, he's what, 25 going on 26? It's
yeah.
At this point, like, college football is probably not the sport we need to be playing right now. So,
oh, he'd be hell in the CFL.
Yeah, but again, it's more of the thing of we have to be fair to, because for if there's three Joey Aguilars in college football, there's three high school prospects that don't get a spot, there's three other players that are in college age that are doing things the right way that are getting cheated out of it because, you know, you're essentially bullying through the court system.
Yeah.
I don't want to derail the conversation too much, but this just kind of popped off to me. This comes from Matt Zenitz. ECU intends to hire Miami Director of Player Personnel, Devontae Love Taylor's general manager.
Yeah.
And that seems like a huge – I don't know. That's a huge steal for your Pirates, by the way. I don't want to derail the conversation, but that's –
well, they got that Mr. Beast money now.
Is that real?
I don't know.
Is that going to happen?
I don't know.
I don't keep up with Mr. Beast that much.
I mean, if we wanted to find out, we could find out.
Yeah, we could.
What I do want to circle back to about all these two court cases, but specifically with Trinidad Chambliss, is one thing about social media and the internet now is with these court hearings, you kind of get live updates about what's happening, videos taking place. Like, you basically get to keep up with it as a timeline. I thought there were three things in this Trinidad Chambliss hearing and court appearance that I thought were, one, hilarious or just completely amazed by. Like, the first one of what Joe Judge said in court, basically telling his players, hey, when football season comes around, no time for the girls. I need you. Basically said, I tell these women that I need your man playing good football this time of year.
That's an interesting way of saying that that's how he said that. He told baby mamas don't get pregnant during football season.
Yeah.
And he said it with a microphone in a court.
I also
he wanted that shit on the record, fam. Yeah.
That was the first thing I saw from any of the content being produced out of this, and I was like, he said what?
Buckle up, boys. We got a good one.
Oh, my gosh, yeah. And from that point on, I was like, all right, I got to see what else comes out of this. Trinidad signing autographs after this,
yeah.
I thought was – I don't know how to put it – interesting. Like, taking a big victory lap, like, as you should. You just got granted another year of college football like you wanted to, but signing autographs as if you just won, a national title, I thought that was funny. And then the other part that I thought was weird and also maybe a little concerning is – they were utilizing Carson Beck as an example of this, saying how, well, this guy didn't even go to class when he was at Miami. Trinidad will be enrolled in classes, so this is why he'll actually be a student athlete, which was just completely taken out of context.
You forgot one.
Oh, did I?
You forgot the fact that the Ole Miss graduate that was the judge was, placating and going on so long in his closing arguments about how he was going to rule in favor of Trinidad, that the NCAA law team.
Oh, yeah, they walked out.
Got up and walked out. Yeah. Because they had to be in Knoxville the next day.
Yeah.
I thought that was huh?
Yeah.
They got their ass beat that bad? What?
Yeah. So I think more than anything, from somebody that has never sat in a courtroom, other than documentaries I might watch of clips of civil cases or anything like that, I have no idea about how the process works, but just seeing the snippets from this Trinidad case, it's this is weird. This doesn't seem like this is maybe the most professional setting that this is occurring in.
No, it definitely wasn't, but I mean, it's college football. None of it's ever been professional, so
and definition.
It was, and the judge was, from what I understand, an Ole Miss graduate,
but that's just happenstance, Kirby.
I get that.
That was just happenstance.
So, I'm not. Boys, are we good on that?
Yeah.
That's the news that we actually had to work for as journalists. You know what I mean? I mean, a couple of those stories Jonathan told, that's only happening if you got your butt up and went into an Oxford courthouse. Or got your butt up and went into a Knoxville courthouse. And you sat in there with your nice tie and all that good stuff, and you paid attention. You were a journalist. On the other hand, we got some football players that just feel the need to break their own news about neck injuries.
Oh, man.
Did y'all hear about this?
Yeah.
This serves as a PSA, not only to be careful while you're driving, but stop giving the news to people who don't need it. I'm looking at you, Lotsier Brooks, sophomore wide receiver, who I love tremendously. Think you're going to be a great NFL football player when you get there, son. But no need to go get into a car wreck, have a preventative neck brace put on you, and then just deliver the story button wrap to the entire beat via your Instagram story. What are we doing? Stop it. And now look, I'm sure the Alabama beat reporting group, which I have a tremendous amount of respect for, I'm sure they would have found the shit anyways. I'm sure they would have figured out their star receivers walking around campus in a neck brace. That being said, don't need to put it on our IG story, my guy. Don't need it.
And you know, it's one thing to like maybe post yourself in some crutches because, you know, it's football. You know, things like that happen. You know, you get dinged up a little bit. Maybe you need to be on crutches for a few days. Posting yourself in a neck brace, that is like some extreme.
No need for felt cute, might delete later. You know what I mean? Let's just keep that one in the what do you call those? Reserves.
Yeah. I mean, this
in the drafts.
This is classic. I'm 19, 20 years old and would do anything to have people reach out. I'm like, oh my gosh, are you okay? I hope you're feeling better. And not thinking about how there's a large media presence that follows me that will report on basically anything I do instead.
It is the exact case of like one of your friends in high school posting a picture of them laying in a hospital bed with an IV in their arm. Like,
yeah.
Send prayers my way.
Pray for me.
Make sure you hit me up with some DMs asking me if I'm okay.
Yeah. That's exactly what it feels like. I mean, Nate Frazier, when Georgia season's over, he posted a picture of him stepping out of a Lamborghini in a boot.
So you think that was a Lambo flex or a boot flex? I think that was a Lambo flex.
Probably both.
Yeah, probably a little bit of both.
Why are you flexing the boot, fam?
Like, hey, back home, got in the Lambo.
Just letting y'all know I was playing hurt all year.
Yeah.
Just letting y'all know, just in case y'all was wondering, I was hurt.
I mean, after the season, do whatever you want, dude. Be like, I broke every bone in my body. But when you're spring practice at that point, like, dude, don't.
It's a great example of basically subtweeting, make sure you check up on me. I would like some checkup text.
Yeah.
That's basically what
that's
this
what
was.
It was, but you forget the fact that people will cover anything that's injured related
to you. Hey, you know, it was around Valentine's Day, maybe just feeling a little lonely. Needed some people to check up on him. You know, needed some
like
company.
That. Nonetheless, make them work for it, man. Make the beat reporting base work for it, dog. I'm looking at you, Tyler Williams.
Oh yeah.
I'm looking at all you guys. Like we enjoy the stories. They're great. But
is
like,
it even a serious injury? Like it was what?
No, I mean it's preventative. Yeah, it was all preventative. But he got an ass chewing. That's why it was deleted.
Right.
This was a Instagram story that was up briefly. Had the whole beat writing on it because we got a star wide receiver in a neck brace, and now it's news. It didn't have. It probably didn't even have to be.
That's got to be an April Fool's prank at some point. Just hop on the April 1st, hop on
just
the IG
Gunner Stockton, hop on it April 1st, neck brace?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, Gunner
would be like, oh, Bloody Tuesday.
Gunner
Bloody Tuesday for Gunner.
Gunner would never post anything on his Instagram story, though.
Does he have Instagram?
He does.
He does. Oh, okay. I mean, not on his phone, but he's got an account. So.
Wasn't even the craziest thing posted of a college football player this past weekend, though. That didn't make the show notes, so we don't have to talk about it too much. But
what are you
Bryce Underwood
about?
And them boys up there.
Oh,
my
God. My
God.
What
I
are you doing?
Buddy, all right, look. I don't even know where to go with this.
I know. I'm
surprised, knowing me, it didn't make the show notes. Like, honest to God. I know a lot of teammates in college that were down with the tree, that were out here smoking the grass, may have partook myself. But never have I ever heard of anybody be like, you know what we should do? Go hotbox our $100 million locker room. That would be a great idea. Hey, also, you know what we should do? We should film it.
Yeah.
What?
Oh, my gosh.
What are we doing? Also, the best part about that story was his apology that he tweeted out.
I don't know
what's
if that
up
was
with
real.
The. That's not real.
It came from that typical troll account.
Okay,
that has
just making sure,
people.
Not real.
But
man,
like, I don't.
What
think
was the verbiage on that? It was apologies for impure activities.
Impure activities
was the wording on that. Yeah. Impure activities.
Best part about it though, not even doesn't even crack the top five list of craziest things that happened in Michigan over the last few years.
The birth control, we don't even know if that's real. The having it Ubered each to the facility, the cheating with the spouse, the getting arrested, burning it down in the locker room is up there.
Oh, it's up there.
Burning it down on camera in the locker room, up there.
Definitely.
Way up there on the list of crazy things that have happened.
I agree.
That is absurd. Like, buddy, I knew guys that would smoke in the shower on road trips, put towels under the hotel doors. Like, I've heard of all of it. Never have I ever heard of, let's go burn the shit up in the locker room. That's crazy. Absolutely crazy.
I laugh
crazy.
Every time because it's just, there was no thought process in any of that.
Idiots, dude. Just stupid.
Crazy.
The Michigan man slogan is dead. Can we kill can
oh,
we,
buddy.
It doesn't exist anymore.
Can we roll that up and smoke
yeah,
that shit?
Like,
I mean, golly. Woo.
It's gone.
Make sure you hit that thumbs up button. Should we talk about, speaking of the Big Ten, should we talk about this horrible, horrible idea?
I think we should. I think it needs to be talked about at least.
It does. As do those Super Chubs. We're going to get to those guys in a little bit. So the Big Ten thought it would be a good idea to just like skip 16, skip 18, skip 20. Go straight to 24 teams in the college football playoff. Just expand straight from 12, double it. We like it so much, just double it. Go straight to 24. This is supposed to be enacted, or they want it to be enacted by 2029. 24 teams, 23 top-ranked teams, one G5 member. Top eight automatically get a bye. The first eight round, the eight first round playoff games will be played on campus. The second round of eight playoff games will also be played on campus. So not only if you're a top eight seed, you get a bye, but you also are guaranteed a home game as well in this model. And of course, no conference title games. Mm-hmm. Complete removal of that.
Now, before we just crap on all of this, I think there are some pieces to this that I do like. Like, I for one, like the idea of adding more home playoff games in the playoffs. I like that idea. I know that takes away opportunities for bowl venues and that therefore takes away money from those sites and all that good stuff. But I like the idea of adding more and more home games to the playoffs. I think that would be beneficial. I think it added extra incentive to have a first-round bye as well, which I know that there's a whole big debate around that as well. But I like that idea of it. I'm okay with that. Now, with it being 24 teams, not cool with that part. But the more home games, I'm cool with it.
Yeah, here's what I'll say about this. I appreciate the fact that this is a very clearly thought-out plan. It's very clearly something that whoever is in charge at the Big Ten has put some thought into and has created this plan. It's still idiotic.
Yeah.
So credit to them for at least putting effort in.
Also, credit to the ESPN writer or to the Big Ten for getting the ESPN writer to write this so positively about this idea. Because I don't know if you guys read it the way I read it. It read like propaganda. Mm-hmm. Like, we hope this kind of gets
implemented.
It's not
that bad. Yeah.
Yeah, not that bad. This is good for college football. Also mixed in a paragraph in there where it was like, oh, also, not that anybody didn't put two and two together here, but this gives ESPN an additional 12 games to sell off.
Mm-hmm.
There you go. Just, there's the answer.
Oh, there's the reasoning. Yeah, right there. By the way, I don't know if ESPN would have exclusive rights to those 12 additional ones per the Big Ten's agreement, because, of course, the Big Ten wants to give some of those to Fox.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
Okay, so
for sure.
We understand the reason being behind all of this. When you read the article, what I found was really, really interesting was this paragraph and a half about optimal window of when to play these games.
Yeah.
This is really peculiar to me because it has this whole thought-out process of when these 24 teams would play in a college football playoff window, and magically, they figured out a way at the Big Ten office to get a 24-team playoff done by January 15th. And we're about to play a 12-team playoff that ends January 25th. That makes no sense to me. Mm-hmm. What makes no sense to me is even in this paragraph, you will see that they put out the reason for this. Obvious, we want to avoid the NFL, which right now what we do is we play the regular season, we allow the NFL to get theirs, and then we play our postseason meaningful games. That makes no sense. That's why we have 28 days off for some of these top-ranked teams. And in this paragraph and in this article about expansion that they're trying to bring to us in 2029, they lay out this problem. And they say how big of a problem it is for now's college football teams. But we ain't going to fix the shit. What? We're not going to fix it. Y'all are telling me it's a problem. Y'all are telling me that you are open to fixing it in 2029, but you don't want to fix it right now under the 12-team playoff. That made no sense to
me. And it really just brings me back to the coaches meeting that was held where they voted on this new redshirt rule where now you can play up to 9 games. Like, that is what we elected to vote on, but yet we have people in the Big Ten, at least that we know of now, that are aware of, hey, this calendar is pretty messed up. We probably should do something about it. We need to change this. This is a problem. And yet it's not talked about. We're focused on other things. We're worried about other things. It gets me all frustrated again.
This feels like the we're going to make it seem like it's a bigger issue so that when we bring the solution to it, our idea sounds a lot better. Where I don't think that there was – I mean, yes, there is somewhat of an urgency to, you know, get the calendar fixed in college football, but very obviously this wasn't a top priority issue.
No, just from everybody who cares about the sport. That's all. Just all of us, we, the collective we that make college football the fastest growing sport in terms of viewership in the world right now, we know that the calendar should be condensed. The college football coaches know that the college football calendar should be condensed. Decision makers, hey, when can we go to 24?
Okay. You know, it is funny to me a little bit because, you know, there's a lot of debates in a lot of other sports, but really in football, it seems like the entire focus with really the NFL and college football at this point in time is their entire focus or a big priority for theirs right now is how can we elongate the season? How can we add more teams to the playoff? How can we get more out of this? While with other sports like the NBA, it's, hey, how can we condense the schedule? How can we make the regular season shorter? MLB, hey, can we maybe take it from 162 games to maybe 130? But the most physically enduring sport, let's try and elongate this more and make it as long as we possibly can. Like, it's just so it's comical to me. It's so funny to me.
I mean, the
chat's saying it's all about the money, and I agree. But at some point, you're hustling backwards, messing up your own product.
We're not even talking about the root cause of the idioticness of this is the fact that it's 24 teams get to compete for a national title.
Yeah.
We have like 24 teams. We have trouble agreeing on who number 15 or number 16 should be in the top 25. God forbid the 24 teams that get to go to the college football playoff. The debate between the margins between the 24th ranked team and the 25th ranked team are so much more thin, and we're about to make that the.
I will be honest with my constituents today. If we ever go to 24 teams, and you hear me on here full throating a debate between 24 and 25, I've sold out. Because my honest opinion today is that 24 and 25 have never ever been able to win a national title. Ever. And if you put them in a 2014 playoff, they ain't magically going to have a chance to do it now. And so if you ever hear us giving you that, we've sold out.
But Brooks, parity, level of the playing field with NIL? Like,
yeah, up to like right 14, 15, 16, maybe.
Well, who says 24? 3 years from now, 24 teams could be competitive enough to win a national title.
No.
Everybody senses the sarcasm.
I know, but even in your sarcasm, it's an annoyance because there are people that will believe that and will buy into that theory that, hey, this team 13 got left out, so we got to expand it to make it more available for them.
Kirby, I got a phone call from Eli Drinkwitz just now that said, but Brooksy, the NFL allows a quarter of their teams. And we're trying to get to the NFL model, right? Man. So why don't we let 40 in? You know, 24 sounds good. Let's go to 48. My name's Eli Drinkwitz, and I wear camo cargos, and I approve this message.
I mean, I don't even want
to. He's on record, SEC Media Day, saying sure that.
Yeah, no, I was there for
the record.
I couldn't. I mean, and that's – look, I get it that
– he said it like he was grandstanding for a presidential race, like it was part of his campaign.
Yeah, like everyone's going to love this. And I get the idea that we've, unfortunately, the validity of your season has been placed in whether or not you compete for a national championship. And if you don't, your season wasn't really that exciting, didn't really mean anything. That doesn't mean that you just keep expanding the net so that everyone can, feel like we had a successful season because we went to the college football playoff.
Yeah, this ain't Daytona 500 where you're racing ninth and there's a massive crash in front of you and all of a sudden you win the biggest race in the world. That's not how the playoff works.
No.
How about that?
You kind of missed me with that one, but yep, I get the idea behind it.
You should watch the last I don't know, 10 laps of Daytona every year. It should just be appointment television. From now on, I'll text you when it's happening.
That, yeah.
Hey, the last run to Fox right now. You might have to download the app.
Yeah, skip
we might have taken it off the linear television at that point. But hey, right here. By the way, you NASCAR folks, way too many commercials nowadays.
Skip the first 490 laps of a race.
I think they only race like 250 at Daytona. But hey, you know what? You don't know the round circle, so it's all good.
I don't. I've never
We know the oblong ball.
Yes.
We know that.
I've never watched more than
We know that.
30 minutes of a NASCAR race.
You should. Yeah. The last 30 minutes. You don't need to watch the first hour and a half of circles.
Mm.
Don't get me started on road races. You know, there's this one guy in NASCAR that's dominating road races. He's won like 98% of them. It's the only reason he's ever in the hunt. Hey, spring quarterback battles. Speaking of in the hunt.
Mm-hmm.
They still exist?
Lots of them. Hey, by the way, stop asking me that. I think spring football has returned in its full glory because we've removed the secondary transfer portal window. So all you football coaches out there that have been canceling spring games year after year talking about, well, I don't want to advertise my roster. Guess what? Yeah, ain't no advertising it, baby. You got to go play ball now.
You don't even have to worry about hurting feelings anymore.
No.
You can be straight up honest about it.
Hey, we can coach guys because we know they're not allowed to leave until next January. We got them.
Yep.
We got them for a year.
Yep.
That How is a positive that? Of that. I think that is one of the benefits if you don't have to kind of
tiptoe around everything. Which
I mean.
Most of that I think is more so controlling a narrative.
I'm going to go ahead and get it out the way. Is anybody trying to poach Tyler Van Buren? Because I know there's not a transfer portal window available. But what is stopping a player like Tyler Van Buren from saying, obviously Sam Levitt's the guy.
Michael Van Buren.
Michael Van Buren, not Tyler Van Buren. Obviously, Sam Levitt is the guy.
Right.
They're paying him $3.5 million. I'm good enough. If I went in the portal right now, someone would give me $1 million. But I don't need to go in the portal. I'll just transfer as a student somewhere else and walk on.
Yeah.
What stops that from happening?
Nothing, I would say.
We know that walking on nowadays really isn't walking on.
And these contracts that they sign don't really mean anything.
They're absolutely chopped.
Yeah. So nothing's really stopping you from doing that. That's a great point.
I mean, that is an interesting loophole that I feel like.
Why hasn't it been exposed yet? That's a great question.
It might be.
Why did Miami just get sued to oblivion and settle out of court for an undisclosed amount of money? Why? When he could have just, right? What's stopping that? There's a 105. I understand this, right? We assume there's a tight 105 limit.
So Michael Van Buren is at USF apparently.
Oh, well, there you go.
But done. You're on the.
You see what I'm saying? Like, yeah. Why isn't this happening?
No,
Why are we so under the impression that this can't happen?
Right.
That your roster is indeed intact. Like right here, chat says great point. Deuce Knight should do this.
Well, Deuce Knight is happy that Trinidad Chambliss is coming back.
Word up.
That is a quote he gave, that he is excited that he's returning.
Stoked.
Yeah. So stoked, he's bought in.
Stoked to sit for a second year in college.
He's bought in over there.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know the legality of I do know that when you enter the transfer process, you have to announce, like, okay, you have to file paperwork with the transfer portal to, you know, hit the transfer portal and all those things, but I got nothing. I mean, it might be able to.
I'm going to circle back on this. I'm going to talk about this. I'm going to text some people about this. You guys give me your thoughts on Alabama's quarterback battle. Obviously, Austin Mack. I'm going to label him the chosen one that ain't never played, really. I mean, he got some Rose Bowl burn against Indiana in that blowout after Ty Simpson broke his seventh rib. but it looked okay. I'm not going to lie to you. I got notes on it. It looks all right. I mean, it doesn't look crazy.
Right.
But I call him the chosen one because Ryan Grubb and Kalen DeBoer got him to early enroll. He reclassed, got to Washington a year early. They go to Alabama, and it's like, all right, well, I'm in the portal. Let's go. We're going right to T-Town. Goes there, sits for a year behind Jalen Milroe, sits for a year behind Ty Simpson, and now it's like, hey, this Keelan Russell guy is like really, really talented.
Mm-hmm.
So what are you guys' thoughts on that?
Yeah, I mean, I think it kind of boils down to – without knowing much about either of these players, I'd say it kind of boils down to this. Like, based on what I saw from Austin Mack, I think with that type of player, what you're setting there is we want to have a comfortable floor with our team and our offense, because this is a guy, like you mentioned, Brooks, who has been around this offensive system for several years now, has been in Alabama for multiple years, kind of been working in the shadows for waiting his turn and getting his moment to be the starting quarterback. You get a glimpse of it in the Rose Bowl, and it didn't look bad. Like, it didn't look catastrophic. It wasn't like, oh boy, if that's your quarterback plan next year, you can just kiss next year goodbye. It's a comfortable floor, I would say, if you choose Austin Mack. If you choose Keelan Russell, I don't know where the floor sits at, but you know where maybe the ceiling could sit at. Like, it's higher than I would say for than Austin Mack as your starting quarterback, but you also have no idea the turns or the downhill climb that you could go on if he is your starting quarterback.
It's exactly what my notes say right here, Jonathan. Mack looked good in action last year, but Russell shows flashes signs of potential greatness.
Yes.
Like, there's no doubt the Keelan Russell kid is immensely talented.
No doubt whatsoever. And I think that the rest of the roster is going to dictate what I think would be more beneficial to Alabama, because the first two seasons of the Kalen DeBoer era of Alabama have been, hey, our roster requires our quarterback to play like a superhero. And when they do, we look unstoppable. When Jalen Milroe was at his best, that Alabama offense looked unstoppable. When Ty Simpson was at his best this year, that Alabama offense looked unstoppable. But if they didn't have great games, or if they suffered injuries and you know, hindered their performances, Alabama looked very beatable. So I think if the rest of the roster can elevate to a spot where we can say, hey, we're comfortable with the floor that we have in an Austin Mack, that might be your guy. But if you do need that, hey, our quarterback's got to go out and win us a game today, Keelan Russell might be the guy. So it's going to be very interesting to see what the rest of this roster has progressed at.
Did you football brain your song of the day today?
Maybe.
Isn't that SWV, not SMV?
I think it might be, honestly.
Yeah.
I wrote it in a hurry, so I'll fix it.
No. So you football brained.
Thank you.
I relish in the idea that someone else has those moments.
Hey,
because that is some shit I'd do.
George Strait, dude, that was the worst one. Ooh. I had. That was like the second song of the day, or dude.
Yeah, that's tough. That's one to get, tough to get back on. I'm with you guys. I would ride probably Keelan Russell. I think you're a defensive led football team next year, anyways.
Yeah, I would.
So maybe
say
if the young kids are turnover prone, maybe you ride Austin Mack.
Yeah, for sure.
And take the floor.
Yeah, right,
you know
right.
What I mean. Don't chase the ceiling there. I know one damn thing I won't be doing. Talking about who the starter is. We're just going.
Yeah.
We're gonna breed competition all off season. We ain't never gonna say a word about it. I don't feel that's the case at Florida or Vandy.
No.
I feel like at Florida and Vandy, we can talk about open competition, and we can talk about the need for. I said on a Florida podcast today that competition is like oxygen in a football environment. You have to breathe with it. It has to be around. If it's not in the building, if it's not constantly around, we're not progressing where we need to be as a football organization. Football inherently needs to be competitive. We have to be competitive all the time. So we can speak about battles and we can label them battles. But nowadays we have price tags put on these things. And I don't know if y'all know this, but Aaron Filo didn't go down to Florida just because his offensive coordinator went down there. Aaron Filo's down at Florida because he got equivalent or more money than he was set to get at Georgia Tech. And he was set to get paid like a Power 4 top-end starter at Georgia Tech. So if we just follow the money in Gainesville, we should know who's going to start. It's going to be Aaron Filo. No offense to Tramell Jones. We can apply the same thought process to Vanderbilt. I don't even know who number 19's name is. No offense to the last year's backup quarterback that I'm sure is great at Vanderbilt. But Jared Curtis is making $2.5 million. He's going to be the starting quarterback at Vanderbilt. At some point next year, I don't know if it's day one, game one, but number two is going to be playing next year for Vandy.
Oh, I mean, I'd probably go as far to say is if Jared Curtis is not the starting quarterback at Vanderbilt,
what do we spend the money on?
I'd say that'd be a detriment to the program. Like, that would be signs of, oh, you missed that badly. Like, that's how bad that looked. Like, the fact of we paid this guy all this money and we aren't even comfortable letting him play. He better be the starting quarterback.
Yeah, the way I look at it is that something has to go catastrophically wrong for Aaron Filo or Jared Curtis to lose the job. They're not going to come out and announce that, hey, you're the starter when we enter spring, but it will obviously be, hey, they are in the position to be the starting quarterback.
I've always laughed about this, too. It's like, oh, they won't be labeled the starter. Maybe not publicly, but everybody in the building will know.
Mm-hmm.
Practice one. They will know who started practice as the starter.
Mm-hmm.
This is unlike any other position. It's not like having two corner spots. You got one. It's not like having two guard spots. You got one. We only play one. So whoever walks out there with group one, they know they're the guy, and it's their job to lose. And I think at Florida and at Vandy, those two players will have every single solitary chance to lose that job. They will have to at that spot. Now, there's another school in the SEC in Missouri then I have no earthly idea what they do.
Yeah.
They, at least they have options. I don't know how good I feel about the options, though. It's Austin Simmons, it's Sam Horn, and it's Matt Zollers. Mm-hmm. And if we wanted to, quote unquote, follow the money again, you assume Matt Zollers will start here,
right?
Because they paid a lot of money to get him out of high school.
Yeah, they went to great lengths to make sure that he didn't end up at another program coming out of
like
high school.
Like Georgia.
I think Penn State was
heavily in the mix.
And they've gone to great lengths, I would imagine, to keep him on the roster while also recruiting a guy like Austin Simmons and also saying, hey, Sam Horn's going to come back, but don't you worry. Like, we believe in you here. So a really touchy situation is how I would describe it over at Missouri, because I'm sure Austin Simmons, a guy that started the year as the starter for Ole Miss, he's thinking, well, I'll go to Missouri and now I'll be the starting quarterback there. But I'm sure all those guys are kind of thinking that. That's a great place to be if you're Missouri, where you have three guys that are bought in thinking that they're going to be the starter this year, but also a very touchy situation of how you have to go about that.
Yeah, to not repeat what you said, I do wonder at some point, though, when our team's going to start realizing, like, hey, we're either going to waste this money or have a defective quarterback. Not to say that Zollers will be that, but say Zollers isn't the best quarterback in that room. Are you going to sacrifice the fact that you gave up this much money to really stick it out with him, or are you going to have to start someone else?
Kirby, I don't want to dodge your question. I don't think who the quarterback is at Missouri next year is going to matter a hill of beans.
That's fair.
Have you seen the roster outside of Ahmad Hardy?
Mm-hmm. That is also – that's very fair. It's
There's a not a point. Single solitary person in this chat that could tell me a single wide receiver without Googling Missouri's roster. And even then, you won't know. You won't know who those people are. It's a weird situation that they're in, I think, from a roster-building standpoint. Now, they might come out and have a bunch of dudes that we've never heard of that turn out to be dudes.
Mm-hmm.
They always – I mean, as long as – the last 3 years Eli's been there – they've had good weapons.
Yep.
And they've had relatively decent offenses. Caden Lee came over from Ole Miss.
Oh, that's right.
Like, that's the one. Like, Caden Lee's going to give me 800 yards. I know that. Boom. Mm-hmm. We got 800 yards with Caden Lee. Outside of that, what we got building out there in Missouri.
Right.
That would be my primary question. My other question is, where is Sam Horn health-wise? Mm-hmm. I looked it up today. He's a dual-sport athlete, by the way. He was a pitcher for the Missouri Tigers organization. It's why he missed some football time early in his career, because he blew his UCL ligament out playing baseball. He's not on the Missouri baseball roster this year. I don't know if that's because we shattered our knee week one.
I would imagine that's a factor.
Of football.
But the fact that he's not even on the roster might implicate that. Might be hanging that one up.
I think we might need to chase that one further than the football career. I haven't seen him play in a long time. But, buddy, we're 6'5", 6'6", and we're 95 off the bump.
Yeah, did you see what Tariq Skubal is going to do?
Who, what?
Have you seen it? Ah, damn, man. That's like one of the best players in MLB right now.
The pill?
Yeah, Tariq Skubal.
He be throwing it?
Yeah.
Is he left-handed?
I think he is left-handed, yeah.
I don't
Does he play for the Detroit Tigers?
He does.
Okay, so I do know some ball. All right, I do know some ball.
Paul Skeens.
But, yeah, if I were Sam Horn, I'd probably be.
There's a lot of money that can be made there, that's for sure.
Yeah. And to just initially get.
Mm-hmm.
That's the great thing about baseball. You don't have to be professionally great to get paid like a professional athlete, as long as you show professional promise at least once,
mm-hmm.
you know, for a good season, and then you get that paycheck, and then we ride it out in AAA.
That's right.
You know? That's Missouri. I don't know what's going to happen there. We'll find out this spring, as will we with Tennessee's quarterback battle. You just wait around, sit on your hands?
I guess. At what point, though, do you have to go like, all right, we got to move on? Because, I mean,
now? I think you have to prepare as if he's not coming back now.
Right. Mm-hmm. Which, at that point, you start doing that, and then say we're, you know, middle of March. It's like, hey, guys, guess what? I am back. Do you have a quarterback battle go on then? Or is it, hey, sorry, we've been telling you, is it Merklinger now?
No, Merklinger's gone.
Yeah, he's at UConn. It's McIntyre.
He's in UConn
now. It's Faison
George
Brandon.
George McIntyre. Hey, yeah. Sorry, George
Merklinger. McIntyre. I see what you did.
The M's in the case.
It's a reasonable one.
I'm having a bad football brain tonight, anyways.
No,
but no, saying like, good. Hey, George McIntyre. Sorry, we've been treating you as the starter for a month and a half, but Joey Aguilar just got his 12th year. You're not our starter anymore. Like, is that what's going to happen? Like, that's the discussion I think needs to be had in Knoxville right now. Because you're right. If Joey Aguilar is playing, there is no quarterback battle. But we don't know if he's going to be, and we don't know how long it's going to be before we find out.
So I think they will get some type of because spring practice is starting, they'll get some type of ability to rush this decision. Mm-hmm. You would imagine, right?
You would think so, yeah.
Right? I don't know. I've kind of already stated my case there. I don't want to piss Tennessee fans off. We can't be getting 8 years, man.
I agree.
19, 20, 21, 22, 23, 24, 25, 26. We're going to go 8 years. And I had one Tennessee fan tell me, well, there's 1 year in there where he wasn't even playing football.
Look, Tennessee fans, you guys have been wonderful to the show. You lambasted Stetson Bennett
for as
old as he was. Yeah. When you had a quarterback the same age at that time, let's pump the brakes on trying to vile for a quarterback going into the 26th year of his life to be a college football quarterback. That's all I'll say. No disrespect to you. You guys have been wonderful. Shout out, but...
Also, what a great time to figure out if your next future of your quarterback's like worth the shit.
Mm-hmm.
They've spent so – again, we talk about this over and over again, because I don't know if – and I don't know their beat reporting base. I don't know if they've contextualized just how early Tennessee gets in on quarterbacks. I mean, they just took a 2027 commit out of nowhere the other day.
Yep.
That's still 10 months from signing, that nobody was even really recruiting in Derek Baker, but they want him bad. So they think he's good, so they're in on him. They're going to let him commit right now. That's how early. All right, they did the same thing with Faison Brandon. They had Faison Brandon's commitment 18 months before signing day.
Sure did.
They had George McIntyre's commitment 18 months before signing day. Do you know what that means? That means we are taking their commitment and making them the guy before we even see the senior tape. We don't even need to see it. He's our guy. Give him whatever he wants. Matter of fact, as the senior tape makes him more expensive, just give it to him anyways. And then we're going to keep punting on them when they get to college. We've got to play these guys.
Yeah.
Got to.
Speaking of a great time you mentioned earlier, it's a great time to shout out our friends over at Sleeper, a fantasy sports and real money gaming app that is focused on bringing people together through those very things. They have over 6 million active users, which goes up every single day. They are one of the fastest organically growing platforms in the world in this industry and are earning some of the highest user engagements in the sports industry. If you head over there today, actually, wait a minute. They've also added a new feature of team picks for a few selections.
Woo!
Not any longer just selecting player props. You can also select which teams are going to win. So if you head over there today and use promo code Brooks, you'll get a 100% deposit match up to $100. Again, that is promo code Brooks. Very thankful to our friends over at Sleeper.
We love it. We love it. We love it. Top five coaches. Top five coaches. Make sure you hit that thumbs up button, firing off in the chat if you haven't already.
So before we do this, are we listing them out 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, or are we going to say who we think the top three are and then kind of?
Yeah, so that's where I was going to start this conversation. I was going to start the conversation with, I think there are three football coaches who are unanimous selections for the top three spots, and there's really only debate on who is 1 and 2, in my opinion.
Mm-hmm.
So I think you two, I expect you to go Kirby Smart 1, Cignetti 2.
Mm-hmm. For now, yeah.
I'll agree with you. I mean, you have the majority anyways. So, Kirby 1, Sig 2, and that leaves Ryan Day 3.
Mm-hmm.
And I do think there is like kind of – it feels like a gap there between the top two and Ryan Day.
And also,
but I think Ryan Day over the last 2 years has closed that gap for
sure.
Me. I don't have as many questions about him.
Oh, the margins between Ryan Day, Kirby Smart, and Kurt Cignetti are extremely thin. And
correct.
You can make arguments that any one of them should be 1. You can make arguments that any one of them should be 3. So, I'm not going to, you know – push for any one or two. I just think that, like I said earlier, the longevity of it and the fact that whatever.
I mean, I think the simplest of way of putting that is when you make a top of rankings of head coaches in college football, it should start with those three. Whichever order you want to put them in, it needs to be Kirby Smart, Cignetti, Ryan Day amongst those three. Whichever order you put them in doesn't matter, but those three, it starts with them.
I don't think you can make a solid argument for Ryan Day to be 1.
Probably
I
agree with
not.
That.
Probably not.
I think your debate has to be between Kirby and Sig. That's for me.
That's fair.
And I think everyone else might agree there. I don't know how they feel. Now, this is why this segment's on here. Because I think 4 and 5 could be a combination of 9 people.
Yes.
I think there are so many football coaches that are on the verge of this. They're one of those three.
Mm-hmm.
And they're a national title away. I think there's no coincidence that apart from Dabo Swinney, there is not a football coach that has won a title that's not in our top three, an active football coach. So I don't think there's any coincidence there. So who does get number 4?
Well, I put mine in tiers.
Okay. I'm interested to hear this.
And I have named these tiers. I have three different tiers, each consisting of two names. The first tier, it's probably one of you. Dan Lanning or Marcus Freeman.
Okay.
That's who I would lob up as four and five. That's probably fair. One of you that I would put there at 4-5. Dan Lanning has made the college football playoff consecutively now. The success in those playoffs, that can be debated, but this guy has won at Oregon. He has elevated that program, and he has gotten them multiple shots at winning a national title. Marcus Freeman, fresh off of a season, or now not fresh off a season anymore, recently made a national title appearance. Now, this year didn't make the college football playoff. There was a strong argument that he should have. Winning games over there at Notre Dame. Certainly a good program. The next category, or tier, I should say. The Hugh Freeze tier. You're so freaking close.
Mm.
Lane Kiffin and Mario Cristobal. I think that they're a step down as of now from those two previous names. There are a lot of questions about Mario Cristobal heading into this past season. He answered a lot of those, made a national title game. Win a national title, you're definitely up there, but you're so freaking close. Lane Kiffin, you're so freaking close to doing this. You just got to go out there and do it. And then my third and final tier. This could be deemed as rage bait. Kalen DeBoer and Steve Sarkisian.
Yeah.
This could be deemed as rage bait. That's very touchy. You'd have to make a pretty solid argument to have either of those two up there on the list, but really good coaches.
Can I loft another name into rage bait?
Yeah.
Lincoln Riley?
Yeah, that's definitely rage bait territory.
Yeah.
I think Lincoln Riley's lost that even.
See, I was going to go lost the sauce. Like another category of,
yes, Lincoln
Riley. Man, 5 years ago, you were a lock for this.
Lincoln Riley's
at the top of that, as is Dabo Swinney.
Yes.
Dabo Swinney with the top of the, you might have lost your fastball
discussion
here.
We're 6 or 7 years removed from, Dabo Swinney might be better than Nick Saban, guys.
Yeah, as he surmounted Nick Saban as the GOAT in college football.
Yeah, we were having that conversation after 2018. And now he's not anywhere near the top five, so. Things happen quickly, and that is a good list, and I do think that it is kind of the Marcus Freeman, Dan Lanning. You have your best options there for it, but even then, like, how do you deviate what's 4 and 5 between those two guys? I don't know.
So I went – this is going to sound crazy because I don't even think – did anybody mention Mario Cristobal?
No, I just did.
He mentioned Mario Cristobal.
Because I put Mario at 4. Now, this might be recency bias.
I think that's
recency
bias.
And I think it is. But, man, like – and I'm also picking him because I think I'm going to be proven to be right moving forward. Like, who's got more juice right now than Miami on this list of guys, right? Mm. Like, Marcus Freeman feels really good about his 2026 roster because of his quarterback.
For sure.
Right.
But Kalen DeBoer's looking at, like, a whew.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, Dan Lanning feels really good about his 2026 roster. I shouldn't look over him either.
Here's why I'm worried about Mario Cristobal. He's still, for as talented of a roster as he had, for as great of a team.
Are you
going to
do
had,
the thing?
What's the thing?
The late game management thing?
No. Okay. No. I thought he passed all those.
Yeah.
He passed with flying colors.
He has still found two consecutive seasons, found ways to lose to far inferior teams twice.
Fair. Yeah.
Like, he has four very, very ugly losses. And you know what? Three. I'll only count three because the one in 2024 wasn't as bad. The Syracuse one was awful. But
yeah.
Three very, very ugly, indescribable, unacceptable losses that you can't ignore right now. And yes, Miami was one of the better teams in college football. The run that they had in the college football playoff cemented them as that. But I'm not comfortable saying Mario Cristobal is a top five coach because of what happened last year, because there are still things that happened last year. So that's why I'll push back on that and say, it should probably be Marcus Freeman or Dan Lanning, but they also come with their own flaws.
Yeah. No, nobody standing on the table for Lane Kiffin?
I had Lane on my
tiers. You had him at 5.
I had him so freaking close.
Yeah.
The Lane Kiffin thing is interesting as well because
I would – so let's put it this way. Let's say Lane Kiffin is still at LSU, still set to be the head coach of the LSU Tigers this upcoming season, but he finishes out last season. Does that impact anything for him on this list? Because I think for me, like, their playoff success is not attached to Lane. Like,
no.
He's not associated with that. What you did last year in the regular season obviously is, but had he won those playoff games, had he beat Georgia, had he been close to making a national title game, like, does that have any influence? Does that change anything?
I think it definitely changes him from a public relations standpoint.
That's fair.
How people talk about him and how people view him now is totally different.
Mm-hmm.
We had ESPN documentaries about how likable this guy was, how he rebuilt his image.
Yeah.
And tore it all down.
All down.
Torched it.
Within 5 months. I mean, just burn it to the ground.
Here's my interesting take on Lane Kiffin, and this might also be revisionist history. Lane Kiffin's kind of thing that was holding him back, supposedly, was the fact that he was at a school that might not have had the resources available as a Ohio State, as a Georgia, as some of these bigger schools.
Texas.
The problem is now that...
Sorry, I meant to cough and do that, but I didn't. Texas.
The problem is now that we just watched Kurt Cignetti take an Indiana Hoosiers team and make them 16-0. So the argument that, well, Lane couldn't do it because he didn't have the resources available, or that's why he went to LSU, kind of loses some validity.
Yeah.
So that's my...
People saying we're disrespecting Sark for not arguing for him here.
Sorry, I...
9-3, bro.
Yeah, I'm good.
Sorry.
It's just,
I'm not going to stand on 10 for you right now.
No,
like,
not.
Great coach, top 10 easily.
Yeah.
Could win the national title this year. I think that he should be commended for the turnaround he had at the Texas program. He has not taken them to the pinnacle of the top, and since they got to the SEC, they've slowly been reverting back.
We're going from a great thank you for rebuilding the brand story to bordering on doing less with more. Mm-hmm. And that's never a conversation like circling a football coach in these lists. Now, go do what you're supposed to do in 2026, like Kirby said. We'll talk about it.
I mean, his position in all of this is very fluid. Like, mm-hmm. he could rise up the charts very quickly this year.
Yeah.
Or he could fall further down the list, in my opinion, this year. Going back to Lane, though, it is weird, though, how, like, we're making a rankings of best coaches in college football, and Lane Kiffin is deemed as one of the best offensive minds, if not the best offensive mind in college football, which obviously plays into you being a coach. How good of a coach are you? Well, his offenses are always really good, but yet he maybe doesn't get the respect for being that because of some other things about him. Like, a very polarizing figure.
And I think also team success wasn't there. Lane Kiffin, despite not counting this season, Lane Kiffin had never made a college football playoff. He had never made a conference championship. I don't think his teams had ever finished better than an 11-1 record or a 10-2 record beforehand. Like, the 2025 or 2024 roster we talk about was Lane Kiffin's best roster. They went 9-3. So there are some knocks. Now, what he did this year was incredible all the way up until, obviously, he left. But that's not enough for me to say he's a top five coach in that regard.
Top two entertainment. Maybe
top one entertainment. There's no one more entertaining than Lane Kiffin. But
depending on what you like for entertainment.
I also think it's already kind of – did you see the video of him at Mardi Gras?
No.
He was in a LSU jersey taking pictures with fans. My man did not seem pleased to be there.
Oh.
He usually doesn't, though.
No. I think he's as weird as he comes off as.
Mm-hmm.
Having spoken to people who have worked with him and for him, that's a weird-ass dude. That is a top-five weird dude in college football. I think he is, like, an extroverted version of Mike Leach.
Huh. That's interesting.
I think if Mike Leach cared about what people think about him, he would be Lane Kiffin.
Interesting.
That's how aloof I think this dude is.
I don't hate the take. I just think that if you ever see Lane Kiffin in public in most places, it's like he doesn't seem like he's there enjoying being there.
No.
So either way, but that's not the debate we're having. I do agree, though, like, it is a tight three. Four and five are very hard to argue, but at the same point, it's probably Marcus Freeman or Dan Lanning.
That's who I would boil it down to.
Is that what we want to settle on?
That's what I would settle on at this
point. And Freeman's had more success in the playoffs. So go him four, Lanning five.
Lanning's had more consistency.
Yeah, so like Lanning has had like a more extensive amount of success at Oregon, I would say. But Marcus Freeman has proven that he can get to a national title game and get really close to winning one.
What do you value more, consistency or peak? Because Marcus Freeman certainly has the peak. I mean, they made a national title.
I mean, isn't Marcus only 3 years into this?
I mean, he has shown consistency.
Dan Lanning's only four.
He's 5 years into this.
Yeah, no.
2, 3, 4, 5.
This is upcoming on five.
This is upcoming on five.
Yeah, so he's only 1 year ahead of Marcus Freeman. So, I don't know.
Dan Lanning's splitting hairs.
Dan Lanning's, you know, never lost a group of five teams. So, like, there's arguments for both of them. Like, I'm not pushing either way. Like, I think it's just, what do you value more? Do you value consistency or do you value the peak more? So
it's fair.
I accidentally pulled up Marcus Freeman's game logs as a player.
Oh, what do those look like?
Buddy, he put up 109 tackles as a junior.
Mm. Damn.
Yeah.
He was a dog at Ohio State.
Yeah, but a set for three, played three. He played as a junior, as a senior, and as a redshirt senior.
Huh.
Yeah. That would have been one of those five stars that transferred guys because he was highly recruited.
Probably.
I'm pretty sure. But, yeah, no, I'm with you guys. I think it's a tight three, and then we can argue for Landing and Freeman to defer who's four and five. And then everybody else kind of has some stake here.
All right, before we switch over to the local hour, I do want to throw out a quick question just to see where you guys are. Dabo Swinney, you all agree, probably not anywhere near top five, might not even top 10 right now because of what Clemson's look like. Say Clemson rattles off a 10-2 season this year.
Yeah.
They win the ACC and they win one playoff game. Where does that put Dabo in your rankings then?
So if he does that, what you're talking about with the roster now, okay. Like, we're back to talking Dabo's graces.
I was about to say,
but here's the most concerning thing about what is going on at Clemson. That roster is putrid compared to what it was last year. And they went, what, under a game under 500?
Game over, I believe.
Game over 500?
7-5, and that's why I was their final.
I was about to say, if he does that this year, that's his greatest coaching job ever.
Okay.
Guys, I don't think Clemson's going to be very good on paper.
No.
For the first time in a long time.
No.
That's crazy. I mean, we went almost 15 years.
Oh, yeah, a very long time where Clemson was always in consideration.
Mm-hmm.
They were a top 12 roster for 15 years. We will not say that about them on paper this year.
No, we will
not. For the first time in a long time. Talking about them. That is the first time we talked about them. No, they hired Chad Morris and we pooped on it.
This season we may not spend that much time talking about them.
I mean, hell, we didn't last year.
Well, we did because it was –
by the way, I've gotten an answer.
On
what happens if I just want to transfer as a student and walk on.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I want to hear this.
I said, what stops this an SEC director of whatchamacallit? What stops a player from transferring as a student this summer and walking on elsewhere? The response, legally, I don't think much. The buyouts that are in their contract is it.
So, again, that's
– which we know is nothing.
Schools are willing to pay them.
Absolutely willing to pay it. So much so that they'll text linebackers during class. What's sure the will. Buyout?
Huh.
See on the other side of the break.
Oh, do you want to hit Super Chubbs?
Oh, yeah, Super Chubbs. Let's hit these because we don't know if these guys are
local.
We
had some very gracious people this
Absolutely.
Hour.
Absolutely. Good job, Jonathan. Joshua Armstrong, we know he's hanging out for the local. Says Brooks' fishing pole fund, RIP. Shout out to Joshua Armstrong.
Maybe he's the one who took him.
Look, guilty conscience getting to him. Somebody did say check marketplace. Thought it was a good idea. I mean, to be honest with you, if it was like one of my like nicer rods,
what was it? Was it ugly stick or what?
No, I mean it was an old Abu Garcia model. You know, and yeah, it was. I can't even remember the rod. It wasn't that. Yeah. It was one of them Walmart like $39.99 rod tips. It wasn't that big of a deal. Marcy Rian. This one's important for the studio or whatever. We appreciate all three of y'all. That's a $100 super chub for Marcy.
Thank you guys.
Shout out to Marcy. We appreciate you, Marcy. We appreciate all you guys listening right now. During this short break, hit that thumbs up button. We'll see you on the other side.